Chapter 8. The Jewish People and Their Military Conflict. The tenth end time prophecy concerning the Jewish people letting us know we're living in the last days is that Israel would become a source of world conflict. Wow. Just turn on your news, right? That one's happening right before our eyes. But don't take my word for it. Let's listen to God's.
Zechariah 12 1-3. This is the word of the Lord concerning Israel. The Lord, who stretches out the heavens, who lays the foundation of the earth, and who forms the spirit of man within him, declares, I am going to make Jerusalem a cup that sends all the surrounding peoples reeling. Judah will be besieged as well as Jerusalem. On that day, when all the nations of the earth are gathered against her, I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock for all the nations. All who try to move it will injure themselves.
In other words, don't mess with Israel. But here we see clearly that God is not only going to make Israel a nation again, on the world scene in the last days, but he's also going to let them become a major ongoing problem on the world scene in the last days. And tell me that hasn't happened. As we saw before, in 1948, when the Jewish people became a nation again, the very next day, here comes the conflict. The nations around them declared war with Israel. And the fighting for control has never stopped. Since then, this is why you can turn on the news or read in all the newspapers of how Israel has indeed become what? An international global problem. It has become a center of world conflict. Exactly like the Bible said would happen. When? In the last days. In fact, some translations put it even more bluntly. They say, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling and a burdensome stone for all people. In other words, Jerusalem and the Jewish people aren't just one big ongoing problem in the world, but they will instill fear in people of the world over this ongoing conflict. And is that not what is happening? Are people afraid of what's going on in the Middle East, the ramifications of all this fighting going on over in Jerusalem, and can there be peace in the Middle East? Is this going to lead to World War III? Oh yeah. Are not the nations around the world getting tired of having to deal with this ongoing burdensome conflict that they can't seem to solve, and nobody wants to deal with it, they're tired of dealing with it? Yeah. In fact, the Bible says this attitude is going to get so bad in the last days that Israel will basically be left all alone with all the nations coming against her, but God will rise up to defend her.
Zechariah 12:9. On that day I will set out to destroy all the nations that attack Jerusalem. Zechariah 14:3. Then the Lord will go out and fight against those nations, as he fights in the day of battle.
Israel is basically left alone in the last days, as the burdensome stone, and the nations eventually come against her, but God sovereignly protects them because he's not done with them. Don't mess with Israel, again, is the lesson. But do we see signs that the nations around the world are coming against Israel and she's being left all alone in the world scene, trying to defend herself? Yeah. In fact, watch what happened when Israel's current Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu confronted the UN and nations around the world over their treatment towards Israel, and you tell me if they've not been left all alone.
Now for the inspiring comeback story in world history. After building the most moral and innovative democracy in the entire Middle East, you would think that Israel would be supported and held up as an example, but we see that the UN, a representation of all the nations of the world, condemns Israel more than any other country on the planet.
Zechariah 14:2, and I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle.
The only country in the world that has been called destruction has been called for by members of the UN, a national movement. Zionism was declared racist and illegal by the UN, that its capital, which was the oldest capital in the world, was not recognized by any country. Benjamin Netanyahu, last month Khomeini made his genocidal intentions clear. Before Iran's top clerical body, the Assembly of Experts, he spoke about Israel, home to more than 6 million Jews. He pledged, there will be no Israel in 25 years. 70 years after the murder of 6 million Jews, Iran's rulers promised to destroy my country, murder my people, and the response from this body, the response from nearly every one of the governments represented here has been absolutely nothing. Utter silence. Deafening silence. Fox News. Then Netanyahu gave them 45 seconds of silence. For years I have heard that in the last days Israel will be isolated as a nation. They would be left alone. And we are seeing it happen. They are as burdensome stone to all nations as the prophet said. No one wants anything to do with Israel. And we're seeing all the signs of the end of the age around us. The Jews have got Jerusalem back. The first time in 2,000 years. In 1967 they got it. This is what Jesus spoke of in Luke 2, Matthew 24, "These are fearful times, but Jesus said that when these things come to pass, lift up your head and rejoice." It says the gospel must be preached. So, preach the word in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exalt, with all long-suffering and doctrine, while we still have time.
That time is running out. Israel and Jerusalem have become a burdensome stone that nobody wants to deal with, exactly like God said would happen in the last days. You just read the actual clip from the UN proving it. It's happening right now. One guy puts it this way. Here's how we're to respond.
Israel is always pictured as the focal point of world politics in the end times. There is not a day that goes by that Israel is not in the news. The world is very focused on Israel, and especially Jerusalem. The world is wondering what to do about the problems between Israel and her neighboring Arab countries. There is also concern about the problems between Israel and the unhappy Arabs who live today inside her borders. Over the past several decades, the United Nations has tried to answer this Middle East problem, and many heads of state have tried to tackle the problem. In fact, every United States administration, since the re-establishment of Israel in 1948, has made some attempt to resolve the abrasions between Arabia and Israel. Failure and frustration have abounded. The peace process has especially failed when the subject of who will control Jerusalem is entertained. And isn't it ironic that as large as the world is, and as diverse as the world's problems are, there is so much focus on this tiny country? At its widest point, Israel is only 85 miles wide and is 290 miles long. The population is around 8 million compared to the world's almost 7.5 billion. It's seemingly insignificant compared to the rest of the world both in size and population. Yet, Israel remains much of the focus of the United Nations and the world. The prophet Zechariah prophesied when the world is convinced the peace talks have completely collapsed, they will start sending their armies to force peace. This will be the fulfillment of Zechariah 14:2, which states that a day is coming when all nations will be gathered against Jerusalem to battle. And when they do, the scenario will be set up for the fulfillment of the greatest event of all of human history, the return of Jesus. Praise the Lord! What an exciting time to live and see these things beginning to take place.
In other words, it's time to get motivated. We're living in the last days. It's not a time to be fearful, it's a time to get excited. Jesus is coming back. And it could happen a lot sooner than you think. Now, I wanted to share a few of reasons why Israel has become this burdensome stone in the last days, that's instilling fear in people. First of all, it leads us to another prophecy being fulfilled. The 11th end time prophecy concerning the Jewish people letting us know we're living in the last days is that Israel would have a powerful military.
Zechariah 12:6, "On that day I will make the leaders of Judah, like a firepot in a woodpile, like a flaming torch among sheaves. They will consume right and left all the surrounding peoples, but Jerusalem will remain intact in her place."
So now we see another amazing prophecy about Israel in the last days, and this one has to do with their military might or military strength. Apparently, what God is saying is that even though Israel is teensy-weensy in comparison to the rest of the world, nonetheless, in the last days they will consume all the peoples around them that come against them. The Hebrew word there for consume is akal, and it means to eat, to devour, to burn up, or to destroy. Hence, they're going to have a powerful military in the last days that consumes their enemies just like somebody going through a dry wheat field with a flaming torch. You mess with Israel, you get burned. And boy, has that been the case ever since the Jews were re-established in the land. If there's one lesson to learn, it's don't mess with the Jewish people. God's hand is on them and you aren't going to win. They will consume you in a fiery ordeal. Outnumbered and against all odds, the Israeli forces have astounded the world by their victories over and over again during multiple wars. Israel's military today is one of the best trained in the world, and they have proven this prophecy over and over again in the last 70 years with an effective fighting force. They have emerged victorious against incredible odds from every major military campaign launched against them since the country was re-established in 1948. For instance, within hours of Israel's declaration of independence in 1948, Egypt, Syria, Jordan, Iraq, and Lebanon all invaded Israel. The combined population of those countries was at least 20 million at that time. Yet, Israel had fewer than 1 million. But when all was said and done, the Jewish people not only won the war, but they expanded the size of Israel by 50%. The five Arab armies were utterly defeated. Then in 1956 there was an Egyptian-Syrian alliance that was defeated by Israel over the Sinai area. They too lost big time. In 1967 there was the combined effort to overrun Israel by Egypt, Syria, Jordan, Kuwait, Iraq, Algeria, and Lebanon, and they were also defeated by the Israelis in what was known as the Six-Day War, when they also gained control of Jerusalem. The Israelis put down yet another combined effort to come against them in 1973 in what was known as the Yom Kippur War. In this war, the Egyptians and Syrians, with around 1,000 warplanes, over 4,000 tanks, and 800,000 troops, challenged Israel. Then Iraq, Morocco, Algeria, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, and Kuwait had joined with the Egyptian and Syrian forces. But when all was said and done, the once again, seriously outnumbered Israeli army, was again victorious, this time with less than 500 warplanes, 1,700 tanks, and 300,000 men. They were outnumbered almost 3-1 and they still whooped their enemies' pants off. Today, Israel, more than ever, has the most powerful fighting force in the area that includes an arsenal of nuclear weaponry and some believe they even have hydrogen weaponry. Their air force, navy and army are among the most technologically advanced in the world. Pilot to pilot, airframe to airframe, the Israeli Air Force is the best in the world. And on it goes throughout the years. Israel's military is not just unbeatable, but they consume their enemies just like God said. Part of this is because, out of sheer survival, they have, and still to this day, have developed some of their most advanced military weapons, weaponry and fighting techniques on the planet. Their military is called the IDF or Israel Defense Forces, and between 1948 and 1977, they grew from 90,000 personnel and 12 brigades to 700,000 personnel and 44 brigades. Initially, they fielded only 20 tanks that were obsolete, to some 3,800 tanks just 30 years later, most of which were state-of-the-art. During the same period, the Israeli Air Force grew from a single, ill-equipped fighter squadron, to 20 fighter attack squadrons armed with cutting-edge combat aircraft. The number of combat sorties they could sustain daily grew from a mere 20 to 1,200 a day, and today it's up to 1,850, which is the highest daily sortie rate in the world. Their navy grew from virtually nothing to the dominant force in the region, and all they do even to this day, is continuing to grow and modernize. You don't want to mess with them. One guy said, "Today, Israel stands out as the dominant military power in the Middle East. In fact, they're the ones who invented the bullpup assault rifle, the Uzi submachine gun, the Python air-to-air missile, the Desert Eagle, a short-range pistol and the wall radar, a unique radar system that allow users to see through walls."
Imagine a new tactical tool that can be used during wartime to see what is happening on the other side of the wall. Imagine seeing a person with a gun pointing at another with a black hood over his head, kneeling on his knees. As you watch what is happening, a helicopter has been radioed the circumstances and is now lowering soldiers for the rescue and to stop the murder. This weapon is compact and mobile and provides real-time intelligence. As everything is being watched on the wall radar, the assassin hears the helicopter and stops what he is doing long enough that the soldiers make it into the building. The wall radar has the ability to see through walls. The assassin tries to escape. He can run, but he can't hide.
But not only that, they have invented wound clot bandages that stops bleeding in minutes, made from cellulose, plant cells. They absorb the blood and boost the natural clotting process. They even invented the injured personnel carrier and the Iron Dome air defense system, just to name a few military advances.
The Israeli army is one of the most technologically advanced fighting forces on Earth. When they wanted a one-man's-hands-free method of evacuating a wounded soldier, the IPC would allow both hands on their weapons during evacuation. This solution was surprisingly simple. The IPC attaches in seconds and makes it easier to pick up an incapacitated person on the ground. It allows him to be carried much more comfortably for longer and gives you a 100% hands-free capability. The Iron Dome air defense system has 20 missiles on it. When the red light flashes, it means it is armed and ready. One of the dozen or more Iron Dome batteries is kept ready to intercept missiles and provide Israel a shield from aerial attacks. Lieutenant Colonel Cohen oversees its operation. It took 3 years and about $200 million to develop this defense system. It relies on a radar that instantly tracks when a missile has been fired. Algorithms quickly try to determine what type of projectile is in the air, and whether it is headed for a populated or strategic area. If so, it launches a missile of its own. It is said that the Iron Dome has taken down over 1,000 missiles since being turned on in 2011. What's clear though is that the algorithms capable of directing projectiles while performing a cost-benefit analysis on human life are the most advanced in the world.
One guy stated, Israel today deploys the world's most capable ground-based integrated air defense system. Nothing equivalent exists elsewhere. They also have the world's second most effective space-based surveillance capability, providing real-time coverage of its wartime theater of operations. And it is a world leader in cyber warfare. Then on top of that, Israel's military maintains the world's second largest inventory of PGMs, precision-guided missiles. And their ground forces. Nobody can touch them. The IDF soldiers are legendary, some of the best-trained soldiers in the world. One writer shared, I don't think anybody doubts that the Israel Defense Forces are, pound for pound, the best fighting force on Earth. Hands down, Israel is far and above the most powerful force in the region, just like the Bible said would happen when you are living in the last days. You don't want to mess with them. They are going to consume you if you come against them. And when you look at the statistics of their military ranking considering their size compared to other countries around the world, it's mind-blowing. This is from Global Firepower Military Ranking in 2015. Countries ranked by military strength. Things to keep in mind. Nuclear capabilities are not taken into account. Number 1 ranking. United States. 3.806 million square miles. Number 2 ranking. Russia. 6.602 million square miles. Number 3 ranking. China. 3.705 million square miles. Number 11 ranking. Israel. 8,019 square miles. They are not only ahead of Australia, Canada, Mexico, but they are 11th on the list of the most powerful military on the planet out of 136 countries listed. Another more recent article shared, Israel ranked 8th most powerful country in the world when you take into account other factors. They even go on to say, for its relatively small size, the country has played a large role in global affairs, gee, I wonder why. Now, speaking of size, keep in mind also that Israel's size is tiny by comparison to the rest of the nations on the planet. The state of New Jersey is 8,729 square miles. Israel is less than that with 8,019 square miles. You can fit 20 and a half Israels in the one state of California. It's tiny yet you're 11th on the list in the world for military strength, 8th most powerful in general out of 136 countries with greater size. Total population, 8,299,706. Available manpower, 3,600,000. Which is why they are hands down the strongest military in the Middle East. 1. Israel. 2. Iran. 3. Saudi Arabia. 4. Syria. 5. United Arab Emirates. 6. Jordan. 7. Oman. 8. Kuwait. 9. Qatar. 10. Yemen. 11. Bahrain. 12. Lebanon. 13. Iraq. In fact, they have so many military arms that they are now becoming one of the world's largest arms exporters. As of 2015, United States, 10,194. Russia, 5,971. China, 1,978. France, 1,200. Germany, 1,110. United Kingdom, 1,083. Israel, 1,074. They're seventh in the world, just barely behind the fourth spot, France. Now remember, we're not counting nuclear weapons yet. Watch this. Russia, 8,000 nuclear warheads. USA, 7,300 nuclear warheads. Israel, 400 nuclear warheads. France, 300 nuclear warheads. China, 250 nuclear warheads. UK, 225 nuclear warheads. I'll say it again, here's little bitty tiny Israel, smaller than the state of New Jersey. 20 and a half of them could fit inside California, and yet you have the third greatest number of nukes on the entire planet. It's almost like they've become a powerful military, just like God said would happen when you're living in the last days. If you go up against them, what's going to happen? They are going to consume you. Remember the Hebrew word akal for consume means eat, devour, burn and destroy you. That's exactly what that word means. Now, speaking of burning and consuming, in our lifetime, can we see for the first time the possible fulfillment of this passage of scripture concerning the disintegration of human flesh to the bone while standing?
Zechariah 14:12. This is the plague with which the Lord will strike all the nations that fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh will rot while they are still standing on their feet, their eyes will rot in their sockets, and their tongues will rot in their mouths.
Some people would say that this is just some sovereign act of God where He supernaturally causes a plague that instantly removes people's flesh while they're still standing. And it could be. Kind of like that scene from Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones is telling his friend, "Don't look at it. Close your eyes and don't look at it. No matter what happens." Suddenly smoke comes out of the altar and flows above the soldiers that are standing there facing it. They get a look of amazement on their faces as they watch the smoke circle around them, and then back up to the altar. One of the soldiers get a shocked look on his face as he watches the smoke going inside of the soldiers, outside the soldiers, circling them as they watch this sight. He calls out, "It's beautiful." Then the smoke turns into an image of a woman with long white hair. She is so beautiful, but suddenly as she gets closer to the soldiers her skin falls away, and there is an ugly skeleton left with its mouth wide open as if to devour them. The man in charge sees her coming at him and screams, but it is too late. The image goes into the altar and fire begins to emerge. It goes into each person who was watching the beautiful sight. They are all in pain and agony as the heat is burning them to death. They fall on their knees, still screaming from the pain. As the flames burn hotter and hotter, their skin melts off like wax. As the skin falls to the floor, they are still screaming in pain. Finally, they each get so hot that they explode all over the room.
So, could that be it? Is that how their flesh will rot while they are still standing on their feet, their eyes will rot in their sockets, and their tongues will rot in their mouths? Could be? I personally don't want to be there to find out. However, with the modern weaponry that we see today, even in Israel, what does that graphic description look like to you? Kind of like a nuclear holocaust, isn't it? They just happen to have a ton of nukes. Maybe it will be more like a scene depicted here in the Terminator movies.
The video begins with a woman walking across a grassy field towards a playground. As she gets to the chain-link fence, she grabs hold with both hands and stares at the children playing on the swings and the teeter-totters. As you look closer, you see that she is actually watching herself play with her son in the playground. She is trying to warn herself to run and get away from what is coming, but no one can hear her cries. She watches herself and her son having fun playing. She tries to rattle the fence to get someone's attention, but no one can hear her. Suddenly, there is a bright flash that actually knocks her and her son down on the ground. The city in the background has been hit with what looks like an atomic bomb. They are all trying to cover their eyes, the light is so bright. She suddenly starts burning. The other mother and her son are also burning, as are the rest of the children there. The blast is overflowing the city and demolishing everything in its path. This is the end. No one can live through this. It hits with such a force that it blows cars and semi-trucks off the road. The tallest buildings are blown over and burned. People are disintegrating all around the city.
Is that what Zechariah saw? Is that how their flesh will rot while they are still standing on their feet, their eyes will rot in their sockets, and their tongues will rot in their mouths? Could be? It might even be from a biological weapon. But either way, in our lifetime, in our generation, we can get a real good idea, can't we? This is why, out of love, God has given us this update on the final countdown, tribulation rising concerning the Jewish people and the Antichrist, to show us that the 7-year tribulation is near, and the return of Jesus Christ is rapidly approaching. And that's why Jesus himself said,
Luke 21:28, "When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near."
Like it or not, we are headed for the final countdown. The signs of the 7-year tribulation are rising all around us. It's time to wake up. So, this is the point. If you're reading this today and you're not a Christian, then I beg you, please heed these signs, heed these warnings, give your life to Jesus now. You don't want to be here when God pours out his judgment upon the nations. You could be one of those people whose flesh rots off your bones. It's the worst time in the history of mankind, so horrible that unless God shortened the time frame, the entire human race would be destroyed. The only way to escape is through Jesus. Take the way out now before it's too late. Get saved today. But, if you're reading this today and you're a Christian, then would you please stop goofing off like these guys? For days, a photo of three golfers putting near what appears to be the setting of Dante's Inferno in Oregon has been making its rounds on the internet, with commentators doubting it's too crazy to be real imagery and claiming the picture had been altered. Not so, says amateur photographer and Columbia River Gorge aficionado, Christy McClure. And she would know, she snapped the photo of the blazing Oregon fire. When I first saw this, I thought it was a joke like that volcano we saw before, but it too is legit. It's an actual photo of these guys playing golf in front of a raging forest fire in Oregon, acting like, so what, no big deal. And yet, how many Christians are acting like this spiritually? The planet is getting ready to blow, people's faces are getting ready to melt with fire. God's giving us all these signs, and we're walking around, goofing off playing golf or whatever when the whole time God says get busy sharing the gospel. What are you doing? We're on a rescue mission, not a golf outing. It's not about you, it's about reaching the lost. So, let's heed these signs ourselves and get busy doing something splendid for Jesus like sharing the gospel, not golfing in front of a forest fire. Amen?